Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. It's good being with you today. And my intent is that we don't necessarily talk, that what happens is we have a vertical blink. What is a vertical blink? Before I explore this idea of a vertical blink, which I just kind of was exploring this morning, Lisa LaRose, One Wisdom, One Heart, family member, producer. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Glenn. It's wonderful to be here. I'm sitting looking at the beautiful blue sky on a sunny, chilly day in western Alberta, and just appreciating, the birds in the sky and the glistening snow. It's a little bit chillier temperatures than what I've been used to, but it's wonderful to be with you.
Thank you. It's wonderful having you. I'm going to talk about vibrant collaboration and how to be an innovator today, and how that sort of ties into our vibrant living challenge. So the challenge, or a challenge in the different teaching, is an opportunity to kind of go beyond what we're used to. And a chila in Sufi is when we earn a challenge, but we have support of the community. So when I work with a person who's kind of their universe and a community within themselves, oftentimes in their physical body and in the way they sometimes don't see things, they get kind of stuck in the horizontal. They don't see the verticalness. And I just thought of a story. I wanted to give you guys a feel for when you're in the horizontal and when you're in the vertical. They're kind of two different things that are happening. And when you become vertical, it shifts the way you see things. And of course, 8 years ago, I saw things in a very different way. I had an interruption in my way of living, and kind of a significant situation, and I started to see this relationally. And I've also been working with teams in sports and tennis and volleyball. I call it one tiger. One tiger is where you really get a sense that you're in breath coordination, your awareness brightens and amplifies, and there's this sense that we're connected, and this wonder of movement and connection is there. So that's something that sort of shifted. And then also in relationship, that when we get in the vertical, I mentioned before the term, Lisa, a vertical blink. And how could I share that with the audience? Well, I called a company in New York City when I was filming an event, a company called Digital Destinations, and I got you out on the phone. And when you're in the vertical, you exist outside of linear time. This is sort of an interesting phenomenon. You know those moments in life when you're like really inspired, or it's hard to explain, or your brain doesn't know how to put words to it. It doesn't make sense. Like there's different. So I called John up, and I was in the. I was experiencing verticalness. So what I mean by that is, when you experience verticalness, it's like you see something and sense something. And you almost feel like you could. It's almost like it was a physicality. It's a skipping. Your body feels like it's sort of lighter than you're used to, and your movement changes. So in the Vibrant Living Challenge, we actually have co-practices that kind of allow us to have the vertical in our bodies, as well as an amazing team of people who work with movement and wonder in the body. So I said that I got John on the phone. In the first 2 minutes, I told him what the Unscripted Power event was about. And he responded in the third minute that he wanted to come there and tape the event from New York City and not charge me. Now, you know, people in the city, there's a stereotype here, they're very money sensitive, right? You pay a lot of rent, there's a lot of investment. So when you're in this experience of what I sometimes call vibrant collaboration, I just called it vertical blank. It's kind of where a person sees something and they're moved to take an unusual action that even a moment ago might have been something wouldn't have done. And funny enough, what's that? Oh, Jenna. I think your name as well. I mean, every name that we call him, he'll come to as long as we say with honor and reverence. Welcome, Jenna.
Thank you very much for having me.
No, you're really, really welcome. Why don't you introduce Lisa LaRose?
Hello. Welcome to the dialogue. It's wonderful to have you.
Thank you very much, Lisa.
You know, it's just I was tuning into being in the show today, Jenna, and I was telling Lisa a little bit about you and how we're opening up. And what I mean by opening up, we're already on and have a listening in New York City. We have a listening in New York. And we work with Dr. Tesha, who's from Philmont, a little upstate New York. So the vision, the imagery, and what we're exploring today is this idea of vibrant collaboration. And I was just explaining how collaboration in my life has happened in a vertical state. And I never understood, I kind of, over the last several years, I really caught that a vertical state is kind of like something that's contagious. And the best way I could say, you co-see something that's beyond the known, and you're moved to take a different path of action together. So I was giving an example, Jenna, where I called this guy in New York, John, who owns Digital Destinations, and I was telling him about an event I was putting together. And it's hard to explain this. The best way I could put it, I was feeling the verticalness, the seeing of what I wanted to do and realizing he would be perfect. And within 2 minutes, he told me he was going to come tape the event and he wasn't going to charge me anything. Now, imagine your life, and this is a big part of vibrant collaboration. Imagine your life where you live your life beyond competition, and the other people around you see you. And I was thinking when I talk about seeing you, because I pick this up when I listen to people's breath when they call me for consultations or coaching. Immediately, I could sense their breath and through their voice. And I was just telling someone this morning, Jenna and Lisa, that I do sessions now where sometimes I listen to someone's breath without even speaking with them. Because our breath reflects that sense of awareness and sense of, I guess I'll call it amplified relationalness, because I'm playing with language this morning. And I mentioned earlier, Jenna, I mentioned this idea because I've been playing with the language thing. I call it a vertical blink. So a vertical blink is when you both see something and it's like that moment of like, wow, you kind of get a sense of that. And a lot of us had that, you know, early on, right, when we were kids. Like I remember certain people. Really young people could have that, you know, they kind of see. And then what happens is, and I think we pick this up via what I call hidden thought viruses. So a hidden thought virus is, as an example, would be, well, you got to get serious now, you're leaving school. Or you're running out of money, it's time to get back to work. Or you're 51, you shouldn't be jumping over things. And sometimes when you walk into an environment, the thought viruses are so loud and habituated. So I realized that with couples, you know, that's another whole thing. So I was gonna share on this segment, Jenna, what I wanted to get into is vibrant collaboration, which I share and have people experience in the Vibrant Living Challenge. So my whole work really boils down to one thing, and it's not really work, by the way. It really boils down to what happens when people get into this in sync out of vibrancy. They get in sync out of vibrancy. So as an example, why I treasure what you do is because the more seeing, and what I mean by seeing, and the best way I could convey it is that story that I told you, Jenna, about the woman, Marion Rosen, who was developed this body awareness. I was going to use another word besides work, this body awareness system. And so someone came to see her. And I want you guys to listen to this. I want to invite you guys to be with me in the vertical this morning. I want you to kind of allow and exhale and play a little bit, because ideally I would love you guys to be in the Vibrant Living Challenge, which is where you get a book, it's your Vibrant Living Journal, you'll get a partner, and I want you to just consider what's possible beyond possible, what's possible beyond possible. And sometimes this stuff is conveyed non-verbally in a way that's physical in person, like the magic of that. Well, anyway, this guy came to see Miriam Rosen, and he'd been to, like, I don't know, 50 practitioners. He went to a lot of people. He had a terrible physical pain. He couldn't really walk, actually. Someone had to bring him to the office. So Miriam asked him, she said, well, move across the room from one side to the other, and it took him like 20 minutes. It was very painful, and she said, well, take your time. And then he sat down. He was exhausted. So imagine your life. When your life is like in thought viruses and you feel separate, your body kind of reflects that. I mean, you know, conventionally there's a lot of things you could do at the level of the problem. Right? And so he was there to get a different kind of support. And so she asked him to move Bark across the room, and all of a sudden he can move so beautifully and so gracefully. He like walked like he had light feet. Like when he was carrying his body, it was like it was grace in his body. And she didn't put her hands on him, and she didn't touch him. So someone told me that story. I said, well, that's seeing this. So when someone truly, truly sees you beyond your scripts and your habits, your physical disconnections, it's a different exchange. It definitely transfers something. And in the Vibrant Living Challenge and our vibrant collaboration, it's kind of like when you go beyond the competitive place and you see together. And that begins a path of action. The only other thing that I wanted to open the conversation to is the next part of that is stabilization. How do you stabilize this so that what you feel, when you feel really inspired and moved, you can bring that down again so it becomes your life? That's what I think when Mark Twain said that true success is turning your vocation into your vacation. And that's what the Vibrant Living Challenge is about, which is our 3-month program, which I'd love to get you guys in, because whether you want to make a film or write a book or you want to find your feet in a way you never found your feet before. Jenna, which is why I called you. I immediately had an instant vertical connection with you, and I want to welcome you today. What I mean is I just felt I could be. I didn't hold back anything, and it was sort of a wondrous meeting, you know. I laughed a lot, and I deeply appreciate – that's what's real to me. I really appreciate the realness of our meeting and no holding back. And it was sort of out of that experience, our 2.5-hour conversation, that I felt like, you know, I think Jenna could open up and amplify our New York City, Vibrant Living New York City, Vibrant Living New York, which is where people come on and really discover their superpowers together. And then the whole thing in the Vibrant Living Challenge is once I see your superpower, so Lisa's superpower is wonder. What's your superpower, Jenna? I said I'd ask you. That's the cool thing to ask you for the moment. Did I put you terribly on the spot doing that?
I'm sorry. I think I may have had a bad connection.
It's okay. It's
Hello,
all right. It's
I heard
right.
absolutely everything until mentioned Lisa's name. And then
I asked you, and you could certainly introduce yourself because you do some wondrous work. I was just asking. I was sort of noticing that our topic today was how do you amplify superpowers together, which is sort of wondrous
absolutely.
Thing. And I was curious how what your superpower was.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny enough. I think that so far more on an individual basis, client to practitioner, me being the practitioner, that's exactly what my purpose is to help people actualize their highest potential. You know, I feel that it's not just Rolfing, but the work that I do is a combination of Rolfing and other modalities that picked up over the years. And to sort of sum it up in a single sentence, it's creating a safe space for people to be felt, seen, and heard in a way that their body will start to express itself to a greater degree. You know, there's like this inborn human potential that we all have, and there are ways to help bring out that what's inside of someone. Like you said, you get these thought viruses, which can be very contagious and not so good for the health of the organism. you know, and underneath those thought viruses are much healthier patterns of being. I think our inborn potential is underneath all of that. And so the work that I do is about creating a space for people to rediscover that which is inside them underneath all those, you know, patterns that have been sort of put on top by, you know, culture and society. And, you know, there's a lot of underlying order that we have inside of ourselves. And so it's really, for me, it's just about bringing that out of people.
You know, it's funny. What you just said triggered a sometimes people call me because they hear about me, right? They hear about me. And there's this one guy, he's in college, and he would keep calling me. His name's Ralph. So Ralph was real excited one day, and he says, you know, I'm seeing things I never saw before. And so every time he'd call me over the summer, I'd say, you got to get your girlfriend on the phone. And he could never understand why this would occur. Because I said to him, anytime you have something happens, I want you to practice it with her. So if you could see God and other people, and you could see, you know, if you have a feeling of lightness, I want you to give this to her and amplify it with her, okay? And it was so funny. We get her on the phone, right? And I could just see she was just sort of like, she was sort of touched, but at the same time, it was so different for her. And it was sort of different to Ralph. So about 8 years ago, when I had this huge awakening, I had a series of I call them soul sings. I just saw stuff like 3, 4, 5 in the morning that I couldn't see during the day or night. And it informed me, and how it informed me was I had an experience of being able to sense people relationally. So, like, as an example, I was sitting next to a couple. I could kind of sense how they were together, and then I could get a sense of how they could be closer. I could get a sense of the thought viruses that were going on. And then, you know, probably within a couple of years of that, I never got up one morning and said, I'm going to be a vibrant matchmaker. But people, you know, were calling me, and I'd been a coach, but then I realized, oh, what happens when a couple discovers this way together? Stay with us, Your Life Precious, for the continuation of vibrant living and your vibrancy and your current in a moment.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras. A new double album of guided meditations to transform your life. A sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com. M-E-T-T-A mindfulnessmusic.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket. A tent. A sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, you're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks. In a moment, you guys have an experience of what it's like to be in the Vibrant Living Challenge. We're going to give Lisa something to explore, and this is exactly how we do it in our 3-month program. All right. Someone enters the room. And if someone said to me once, and I loved her so much when he said this to me, it was the highest compliment. She's a doctor and works with energy. And the first time we saw each other, the first time she said, Glenn, I have parents. I went to Brown University. I went to medical school. I have friends, but you're the first person to see me. So we practice seeing each other, and then we find a path of action. So it was an example of Jenna's in the room, and he works on people's movement. I might say to some people, you know, I want you guys to be with Jenna so that what you feel and sense in your vision, you can move, and I want you to work with Jenna. Because what happens is in this group where you've been individualistically blocked, it's not a problem if you're being held back individually. Something's different about being in this group. There's something different about our path of action, how we see each other. So Lisa, since you just heard Jenna speak a little bit, and he said he was a Rolfer. A lot of people have no idea. They could think a Rolfer is a German instrument, right? They don't know. They may not know what it is. But I'm curious from his voice and anything that you felt. What are you curious about? What are you curious about with Jenna right now? What strikes you so far in this conversation?
First, I just want to make sure that I pronounce your name correctly. Is it Jenya or Jenya or Jenna?
Well, you know, it's funny because even my two parents call me either Janu or Jenu. So I usually go by Janu,
okay.
So I enunciate it a bit more.
Janu.
But
okay, no problem. So I would ask, like, you know, so if somebody were coming to see you for the first time and it was your first interaction, what when you start to engage in a conversation, where do your eyes go? What do you first notice? What direction, you know, does your intuition guide you in how to begin with the person when you're just meeting them?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that because actually it's a concept they refer to in traditional Chinese internal martial arts like Tai Chi and Qigong and Bagua. It's a concept called soft eyes, where basically you're not focusing on anything. And so I do my best to actually not have any conscious thoughts and just try to see their entire body as one single system and try to listen to everything without dwelling too much on any individual words or thoughts or actions that are coming from them. And what tends to happen is larger patterns start to come to me. But I mean, depending on who's in front of me, it could be anything from I notice something about the way that they're moving physically. I notice something about the way that they're holding their body, maybe a particular pattern of tension, but it's not always something where it's a limitation that I notice. Sometimes I notice particular strength. You know, it can be so varied, but it's a very broad perspective. And it's very intuitive. The answer is really sort of, it depends. It depends on the individual in front of me. I just do my best to listen with all of my faculties of sensation to what's coming to me from them.
That's very beautiful. And I guess that's what I was sensing from you. I sort of really, truly align myself with the philosophy of soft eyes. I think that's a brilliant way to walk through life, you know, to really see people with soft eyes, to feel them, to notice what you notice, to kind of instinctively. So I would imagine that with each person, it's almost like composing music or creating a dance, that as you watch the way that they move and that you interact, you know, you kind of the score sort of unfolds. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree with that analogy. As a matter of fact, I also play music, and I don't know if you've ever seen like a rock band and you've got sort of the solo guitarist, and have you ever seen a solo guitarist get carried away where, you know, everybody's playing what they call in pocket, in sync, and then suddenly the guitarist just gets sort of lost and starts riffing, and the next thing you know, he's not in the same key as the rest of the band, and he's just not in the same time, and he's in his own world. And I feel that as practitioners, in the past, I myself and observation of other people's work, it can be easy to sort of get lost in your own beliefs about the person or what's in front of you and sort of get lost in the modality that you're practicing within. and sort of lose that present moment. And so that's I think a lifelong endeavor is just trying to come back to that, come back to that center point, come back to that present moment, what's actually unfolding in front of you.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I would imagine that when you were engaging with Glenn, it was a lot like that if your first conversation was 2 hours. So if Glenn were in your rock band, what instrument would he play?
if Glenn were in my rock band, he would play every instrument. He would switch instruments between songs.
You're absolutely right. And Glenn, do you concur with that?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, no, I love it, Lisa. I always think that you've seen me in so many states and so many phases. So I always think, well, that's what a loving relationship is. You've seen me be in different places. And, there was a woman who was having a stroke. Bonnie, I think it was Bonnie Bainbridge Cohen. I heard the story. I wasn't in the room, but she was aware she was having a stroke. And she asked people to line up around her and touch her in certain places and breathe certain ways. And it was a very spontaneous thing. And I realized that I love the analogy I love your question, Lisa. And I love the analogy that's what the Vibrant Living Challenge is like. Sometimes someone's sitting there and they need a little support in their back, or they need to get up and dance. There's one woman, and I was in another course, and this woman stood up and this is a true story. She had identified as being some kind of transgender, and she said she always thought she didn't like men. And then she got up and she said, she goes, I actually really do like the sense of a penis. She says, I saw one during the break. But it was a discovery. See, it was kind of like this, like we live with something and we I don't even want to call it move. And we are a certain way. And the funny thing is, illness is a blessing then, because what illness does, it sort of brings us to this other place of seeing. And then relationally, and this is where I think compassion comes in. Because I know during my awakening, I see now that I always was a dark horse. I always saw that I saw things differently. That fulfillment was my thing. I couldn't get the linear world. I couldn't get what people did. And so school didn't make any sense because that was in the horizontal. But every so often I meet someone like Lisa and I could have this other conversation. And then during my awakening, I realized, well, that's a relational phenomena. Because what I see a lot of people do is they identify as an example of being an empath, or they identify as being psychic, and it's not integral. Like they kind of get, and for me it wasn't integral. It was too. Now I've discovered there's this relational dimension, and I realized when I was 11, I could never understand why people divorced. When I was 11, I didn't have the words for it, and so it's interesting when I had my soul seeings, and I had a conversation. When I think both of you would appreciate, I was talking to Bill Pettit. Bill Pettit is a man who's a psychiatrist who ran an institution. He's the most humble man I've ever met. And I could say that Bill had many situations where people would stand up during meeting him and leave the institution, and that was it. They had a spontaneous mental health awakening. And I talked to Bill about it one day, and he's incredibly humble. And he says, well, Glenn, he goes, all I did was I put their chart aside, and I saw deep health in them. And they would always cry. And one woman said, she goes, I've been in here, 27 years, and I've never been referred to as a healthy person. And she went on to become a nurse. And every time I talk to Bill, I know what he said. This is what I wanted to pass on. What he said to me, Glenn, is you can't explain something from the linear horizontal mind. From the linear horizontal mind, she'll always be on medication. There's no other conversation. She's biochemically wounded forever. See, that's the danger of these me conversations. That's why empowerment does not work. It's not based on a relational system. So when he said that to me, that was a different context. Like, oh, yeah, the soul mind impacts chemistry. So if we kind of as a group, Lisa and Jenna, and we start to see each other and we come in from that place of reverence and listening, then we could begin to play with each other, actually play like almost like, hey, what would happen if you walked this way? But not as a correction. I play with this guy at volleyball. It's like he goes, you want me to block? And he's really saying, I'm going to block. He doesn't really invite the relationship. He's so focused on the winning, right? But imagine if we, in fact, were one tiger. So it's like in these subtleties, we actually become in a path of action and more powerful rather than kind of attempting to come from these fragmented places. So, Lisa, I always felt when I was around certain people in this world of movement, I kind of felt, what are they going to, it almost felt like a very judgmental thing, a very separate thing. So when I mentioned the story earlier about Rose and seeing working with the man, it's like something is in her seeing. Well, she saw that movement and he picked up on it. He was able to pick up. This is my interpretation of that story, that something happens in seeing this that's unexplainable and wondrous, that transfers to us, that's rare. And I've always through my life, I've met people who've been catalysts for that, like John Gatto, who wrote Dumbing Us Down. As soon as I got around John and me and him, Baron Baptiste got together, me and Baron both left school realizing that we were getting dumbed down. And we both said to ourselves, being around John, we were waking up, we were getting smarter during that conversation. We're going to get into this other topic. I just want to announce our other topic, because Lisa was kind enough to send me an outline here. Our other topic we're going to dive into, which is totally related, is going to be the ecstasy bond and vibrant matchmaking. I'm practicing now with the office of Dr. Teshner, who's on a – she says to send you a love. She's on a plane right now flying to L.A. So we're going to talk about the ecstasy bond, which is going – imagine going beyond – imagine right now if you – imagine if you could give up dating. That's it. No more dating. No more dating. And you could relate deeply, and you could form a bond that's ecstasy-filled, stabilizing – and you could be yourself in a way you've never been before. That's what we're going to explore on this next segment. I'm reading this almost like I'm in school. I was reading my assignment just then. Lisa was kind enough to write out this. And I could walk in, if somebody handed me a cue card and said, we're going to talk about this for the next 5 days, I could take the cue card and do 5 days. So here I am. Jenna, what were you going to say?
Oh, you just reminded me of a fantastic quick story about Emily Conrad, who was the founder of Continuum Movement. She was in a car accident a number of years ago before she passed, and it completely destroyed the cartilage and tore a few ligaments in one of her knees. And, there's a period of time where the tissue had to heal, but there were certain connections in her knee without surgery that were just not going to heal. And she, it took about 3 months. She was doing continuous movement and different practices, and her knee was completely healed without surgery. She was able to walk. She was able to run, to jump, dance. And she went back to the doctor, and she got, an MRI or x-rays, and they said, I don't know how you're walking right now. None of the structures have reconnected. And so, that same sort of linear thinking you were talking about, where you've got to be on medication for the rest of your life.
Right.
It's not about necessarily trying to do things the way they were in the past, but she found a different way to do the same activities. And it's just amazing. The human organism is so complex, and there's potential for so much more than I think what just the common cultural norm is asking for.
Yeah, beautiful. I mean, it reminds
you're
you of...
You're absolutely right. Yeah, I'm right now. I'm visiting my 96-year-old aunt, who yesterday at 6 a.m. in the snow was out shoveling before I went outside. And in most people's paradigms of what they believe is possible, that's not possible. Especially because she'd been to the doctor who diagnosed her with a sciatic, who actually told me that I had the correct diagnosis, which totally took me off guard. But we're in Canadian medical model, so it's a little bit different. But it's about, he said, recommended a walker, and she wouldn't have anything to do with it. He said, well, just till you heal. And she said, nope, I'll manage. I'll get through. And I think that's a testament to, the belief of how you're going to be and what your possibilities are. And she, I said to her, well, let me do this for you. And she said, well, when you leave, I'm going to have to do this by myself. So it's not a problem. I've got it.
It's a
very good, interesting lesson for me, and a great model to follow for sure.
Well, I love it. I'm
sure Glenn, you'll be the same way, right?
Well, what Jenna just said. So there's a book called "Take Your Glasses Off and See" by Dr. Jacob Lieberman. I've dialogued with him in the past, but one of the interesting things when his eyesight got much better and got rid of his glasses is that, I guess on some level, his diagnostics didn't change, but his vision changed. He's able to see differently, but it didn't meet with the model. So there's a distinction between looking and seeing. So this is very interesting. Very interesting. Again, it's a topic that lives outside of a linear box. It doesn't live in that linear description. And yet, I'm doing. By the way, I'm actually going to go. I think she's one of the head librarians in the whole state of Massachusetts. We're going to have a conversation about the power of third space. What happens in a third space? How is it different? That third space is the place that's different than work or home. Okay, the ecstasy bond. Here we go. This is a lot of fun. The ecstasy bond and vibrant matchmaking. All right, so imagine if you could go beyond dating to relating. So I'm going to talk a moment about Cupid's poison and Cupid's medicine. So Cupid's poison happens around dating. And how it happens is people attempt to get to know each other, and they kind of have all those thought viruses, right? Like, oh, is that person going to be like this, or are they going to be like that? And so what happens is from somewhat of an unstabilized place. Now, another thing during this process, and I want to explain this to you guys, because so there's two different parts of our system. One part of our system is, because most people are 100% touch deprived. So what happens is when people have sex from this one place in the system, the sympathetic place, and they have a lot of sex from the sympathetic, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that there's a deeper level, which is Cupid's medicine. So how do I work with people who come to see me for vibrant matchmaking? So vibrant matchmaking is for people who sense there is a wonder and magnificence in monogamy, dedicated, devoted monogamy. Now, when does that start? When does a relationship start? Well, I tell people it starts when you hear someone's voice and it begins to speak in you and resonate in you. So I teach people, and I don't just teach them, I share with them breathing and awareness practices that start them from the we place rather than the me place immediately. So why do I do that? Well, because inherent in dating and internet matchmaking, which includes texting and email, which doesn't hit the deeper brain, it doesn't allow us to feel this deeper resonance. So vibrant matchmaking is the ability to connect with someone from a relational place that's uncommon and real and beautiful. Stay with us for more of the Vibrant Living Network. That's right, more brilliant awareness from Lisa and Jenna and you in a moment.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose. To link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, you're listening to By the Vibrant Living Network along with beautiful Lisa Rose, Jenna, who works magic with people's bodies. He works with a modality called Rolfing. He's also a martial artist. And apparently an MMA fighter, apparently. I want to welcome you guys here. I'm just kidding. I wanted to share with you, how did I discover this whole beyond dating to relating stuff? I want to share with you, because if you're going through a crisis or you're going through something, as a lot of people who are. So I didn't get up one day and said I wanted to be a matchmaker. I had no interest in being a matchmaker. But what happened is people contacted me, no matter what I was doing, actually, it was happening in my life. I was selling a car, and the woman said, by the way, you think I should stay with my boyfriend? He's drinking a lot. And this happened regularly. After I had this part of my life where I had these, what I would call these seeings, it changed me. I started to breathe different. I breathed in the places of my body I never breathed before. But this one woman came to see me, Yvonne. And I had women coming to see me from all over the country. And she called me up. We had a series of conversations, and she told me she was thinking about leaving her husband after 30 years. And I said, well, just come. I said, we'll hike the mountains together. And we did. And it's funny enough, you're going to like this, Jenna. I recommend her and her husband get Rolf together. She never heard of Rolfing. She'd been around yoga for like 15 years. And I said, no, I want you guys to have a new beginning. I want you to feel and move. And this is part of our matchmaking. I teach an internal chi that's a natural movement. And that's how people meet. And we come to give our seminar in New York City through Vibrant Living Matchmaking. We have something about how do you meet some movement? It's not just a movement. It's about the relational movement that you share and energize each other. So they started to get Rolf together. And what began to happen was unexpected. So unexpected is Yvonne sent me a check for $350 and said, Glenn, what we did together was so precious. And I thought, oh. So what you do in your life is you kind of – it's how we get distracted away from this by thought viruses. In other words, people say, well, you got to do this. You got to do that. You have to do this. A lot of people say, well, to survive. But as our nervous system changes, and it changes, the most beautiful way that it changes is with someone else, right, the vibrant intimacy. So when I sit with people, I might refer them to Lisa or Jenna because I know that their nervous system might need a different input. So for instance, I'll give you an example. I just did a vibrant matchmaking with a woman out of Stowe, Vermont. And I could feel her breath change in her voice. And she says to me, well, the guy that I went out with last time, this is like probably 10 years ago when she lived in California, he started to talk to me about another man when we were making love. And I could feel in her breath right then and there, she injected this thought virus. And how it plays out is she's cautious. A lot of people in the dating world, I don't care if it's a spiritual dating world, is caution. So as an example, I call these relatings. I sent someone and I said, I want you guys to relate for a month. And on your second meeting, I want you to touch pinkies. So when you meet someone, I want you to play with this. Imagine just touching the end of your toes and just settling for a moment. Because what happens when you meet someone, a lot of times that caution response, and this would happen sometimes when someone would come to see me from out of town. They'd be like, why are you going to see this guy? He could be a killer. And I would say to them, I say, all these people that are kind enough to share their thought viruses, why don't you ask them what their life is like? Right? So vibrant matchmaking is the ability to go beyond dating and to find a level of union. And by the way, the most powerful way we could be in relationship is we have cycles of resting, nesting, lovemaking, and wild sex. I'll give you this word again. So you got resting, nesting, lovemaking, and wild sex. And why I put those things together is different aspects of our nervous system. What we're really doing is giving each other, and I call this in my work erotic intelligence, I'm asking people to own and play with parts, aspects of themselves and be bold enough to share that. And so sometimes how I do that is I just breathe with people. And then I apply the movement. So I want to go, Lisa, you've been around people that are in the dating world. And you're really tuned and see a lot of people. Tell me what your response is and what bubbles for you when I talk about going beyond dating to relating.
Well, I'm very curious about the touching toes aspect. I think it's goes along with your reminder to breathe. I think so many times that we hold our breath, and I'm sure that, you know, in the apprehension of meeting somebody new or going out on a date, most people can relate to that feeling where they just hold their breath and they're just, like you said, the cautionary engagement. Yeah. And I think, you know, when you just take a moment, you know, to kind of breathe and notice something unique and even you know, if you're not physically touching your toes, just in mentally going through that exercise allows you to reframe your nervous system. I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah, so you start to have this other place where you could I was very lucky. I had a personal relationship with Dr. Valerie Hunt, who studied healers from around the world. She was at UCLA. Her character's in a movie, by the way, called Resurrection, the first profound mainstream movie on kind of healing. It was very profound. She was, someone played her in the movie. And what do I want to say? Funny enough, by the way, I want to say I'm backwoods on a dirt road, and for some reason they're replowing the road today. I just want to say, funny how this orchestrated today. So, thank you, Lisa. And there's all these tractors around me, you know, so I'm moving. Okay, so I love that you brought this up. So what happens with people, right, there's different breaths. So as an example, if you notice your breath, and I noticed that with the woman I just did the consultation with, there's a contraction breath. So when we make a decision out of that breath, like he's scary or he's creepy, we also get involved with thought viruses. So what happens, we don't really see the person. So by the way, every time I do this, it's so delightful. Like when I first touch toes, when I'm meeting with someone, and sometimes I'll make a joke, like someone will come on and come see me and I'll say, well, you know, I'm not able to date. I just can't do that. So they'll say why. And I make it as a playful thing. And I'm being straightforward, but I'm using it as an opportunity to relate to them and be vulnerable and open about why I don't date. And also, at the deepest level, you see, I've done something very different. In my inner system, and this is in the book, Divorce the Patterns on Each Other, and in the film, I never divorced the person I was with in my heart or soul. I started to see that what we call divorce and breakups is often an overloading of the system, and we conclude on someone. We conclude, and it's abrupt. Now, when we conclude and it's abrupt, or even if it's not abrupt, but it's slow and it's neutral, and we kind of die a little bit. And so the idea of meeting someone is such a deep honor. And I also appreciate the anthropology of the conditioning we have as men and women. It's so dehumanizing and disconnecting at the level of the problem, at the level of the discussion. But I've had the honor to be in rooms and be with people now where the wonder of the feminine, the innocence and wonder of the feminine, the innocence and wonder of the masculine is so different than the counterfeit conversation that includes dating. As a matter of fact, I don't think the divine could make it dating. I think it takes an ability to step back and almost be graced to relate to someone given the fact we have these thought viruses. And so there's a wonder to it. Jen, I want you to say something, because you work with people's systems and bodies, and I encourage people to get this type of work together. I ask them to embark on a system that gives them a new reference for each other's nervous system. And one quick comment, this woman said, call me back. This is when I was going through this 8 years ago. I was going through my intense relational tsunami. And she said, Glenn, we're working with an EMDR practitioner, someone who releases trauma through the, you know, by movement of the eyes. We're doing it as a couple. We went to 10 different people. She says, I love my husband in a way I never have before. So it kind of, I was going to ask you, when you touch someone's bodies and the beautiful work that you do, Jenna, has it altered their relationship, or are they moved to share this with their partner? What's your experience?
Well, you know, I always have to start by saying it depends. And, you know, back in school, you know, that was the most frustrating thing for me to hear from my instructors. I'd ask them a very specific question.
Yeah.
And I wanted a very specific answer. And they'd be like, well, it depends. But I would say that, you know, in what I would consider my ideal outcome, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, as different channels of awareness are opened up in the individual I'm working with, those are more channels for connection with others. And of course, that includes their lover. And I think that, you know, I've had situations where people have deepened their relationships, and I do my best to try not to give any personal advice or opinions on moving one direction or another. I let people, you know, come to their own choices on things. But, you know, I think that I've helped facilitate connecting people deeper, and I've also helped facilitate people moving out of relationships they felt were no longer serving them.
I want to ask you, Lisa, the same question. I want to say that I had the same response to when the Mr. Softy truck driver pulled up when he asked me what I wanted to order. I would say it depends because there's weather factors, the heat of the day. Do I want a big chocolate smoothie, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. I thought you could relate some primer level to my Mr. Softy, it depends comment. So what I found in this work, in the relational work, I've almost found it highly unusual that people don't. It's one woman from our hospital bed said to me, she wrote a book called Make Up, Don't Break Up. She says, Glenn, she's worked with a lot of people. I've never seen a couple that were in an authentic breakup or divorce. She says, what they're dealing with is hormonal disbalance, depletion, and a frozen way of seeing each other. Lisa, in your work with people, do you find it, have you had an experience that when people have union with their family, it's impacted them on an individual level? Have you found relational union or physically shifting the relationship where they've talked to someone they haven't talked to? What's been your experience relationally with people?
I think that's one of the deepest keys to healing, Glenn. And it, you know, so many different studies are proving it, that in, I believe in England, they're encouraging community, that they find that the individuals that are connected, not just to family members, but if they no longer have family members, if the community reaches out to them, that they have fewer visits to the doctor, that everything seems to shift. And I think that there's a certain vibrancy in engaging in that. When you're able to reconnect with, whether it be a friend or a loved one that you haven't normally, you know, spoken to, after you get off the phone with them or, you know, meet for lunch, you walk a little bit lighter. There's something different in your movement, in your step. I think it just makes you feel freer and happier. And I'm sure that you can say the same. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Lisa, that you said that. I love that you said it because I hear it through your beautiful voice, and it comes alive in me. It's kind of like, it's not just information. It's just wondrous. So yeah, when we go to do our Vibrant Living Matchmaking, you know, weekends in New York as an example, it's all about improv. It's taking risks. Like, great love requires great risk. And I'll be doing this work at Dr. Tesh's office, and I know that Lisa knows how to spell Tesh's name, and I don't. So if you want to go to Dr. Tesh's website, we have a write-up on there. Lisa's such a kind person, Jenna, that she wouldn't let me lose in the first round at a spelling bee. She would help me telepathically or write it on the back of her hand. That's how supportive she is, Jenna.
Yeah, so you can go to Dr. Tesh's website at www.drteshna.com. So it's www.drteshna.com.
Yes, Lisa, I love what you just said. As a matter of fact, it was one day in my little town, I thought we all forgave each other one day, and I thought we should do this on a weekly basis. Like, because what we do is we don't forgive each other. We kind of hold stuff in our body. We see this person, we hold our breath, or we kind of look the other way. And I thought, you know, this is really unpleasant, this whole, you know, like, let's play people by their script. Okay, I'm going to give you something to pass on to your relationship, okay? This is the relational moment of the day, the vibrant relational moment. I am also a vibrant intimacy coach. Here's your intimacy moment. When you've had a fight with your partner, if you argued, I want you to take their offering. So if they come up to you and they say, what's up, or what can I do for you, I want you to receive that. It's called an offering that resets the nervous system of the breath. So fighting comes in relationship because sometimes our nervous systems are going wild. Sometimes you're fighting someone's aunt you're fighting something that's not even them, right? But the offering means everything. Let your partner hold you. Let them touch you. Let them make that offering and receive it. Receive it deeply. So Lisa, there's a few people that have been in my life. I've been so happy. The greatest part of my life has been, that's become holy ground for me. When I bridge the gap, there's one person right now I'm thinking of. He's given me $50,000 with no contract. $50,000. We had a falling out last year. He knows who he is. He loves me, and we had a falling out because we fell into a pattern. My vision before the new year, Lisa, he's going to come on, and we're going to reconnect. That's my vision.
Beautiful.
And you're going to be part of that.
I welcome that opportunity.
You're gonna be part of that, because I know that even though when I call his phone number and it goes to one ring because it's Glenn, that after you invite him on, because we're gonna do a vibrant relational moment. We're gonna do a collaboration, because someone just doesn't pay you $50,000 with no contract and have that depth of relationship. What happens in our life is the pattern takes us over, and then we think we need to get away. I want to suggest another option, which is to breathe together in a different way, to not make the pattern bigger than you guys, and to do that forever. I want to suggest the idea of radical longevity, and we have an upcoming series. I don't want to say his name because he's pretty renowned, but I'm pretty sure we're going to have one of the world's leading brain and deep love people, facilitators. We're going to do a year on how to reverse Alzheimer's. We're going to do a year on how to grow your brain younger and brain longevity. Lisa, I love you and I appreciate you deeply. Jenna, thank you for opening up and energizing Vibrant Living New York and Vibrant Living Vermont. We're going to be giving a lot of vacations away to the people in New York City. To be in touch with me directly about your vibrant vision of being a speaker, of being on our network, 413-345-3747. For those of you in the vertical, I'll say it again, 413-345-3747. Much love and appreciation. Your life's precious. Enjoy it.